Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Welcome. I'm Karen Peter, and this is Common Grounds, where we have been having conversations about the liturgical or Christian calendar. Through the seasons and holy days of the liturgical calendar, we relive the story of faith, the story of the Christian faith, the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. In each season, we participate with our whole being through scripture and symbol, color, and hymnody. As we learn more about the calendar, and as we begin to live it as a spiritual practice, we deepen our understanding of discipleship and of Christian community. Now, the calendar begins 4 weeks before Christmas with the season of Advent and moves through Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, the Easter season, Pentecost, and Advent, and what's called Ordinary Time. Our guest today in talking about this is Jane Gardner, and Jane was our very first guest on Common Grounds and gave us a wonderful overview of the liturgical calendar and how it has become an integral part of Community of Christ. Jane is a full-time minister with Community of Christ, and she currently serves as the presiding evangelist for the church. So hi, Jane.
Hello.
It's nice to have you back. I'm sure that you've been busy since our first interview.
That's true. It's been kind of crazy busy, but in a good way.
In a good way. Well, we appreciate you taking time out today to spend a little bit more time with us, specifically talking about this season that we're currently in called Ordinary Time. Now, Ordinary Time is a big chunk of the Christian calendar, and if people want to go back and listen to your original episode that we did with Common Grounds, they'll get a little bit of understanding of why it's called Ordinary Time. But can you give us just a little brief overview of why it's called that?
Sure. It's actually the opposite of the special festivals and things that occurred in Jesus's life that usually coalesced or co-lined with things that happened in the Hebrew calendar. So we celebrate and wait for the birth of Jesus. We have a season where we go into the desert with Jesus. The major things that have happened in his life, obviously his death and resurrection, all become important. And then we wait with the early disciples, waiting for the Spirit's gift as it comes to them on Pentecost. So those become what are called festival times in the Christian calendar, and pretty much everything else is ordinary time. Ordinary time in the liturgical calendar is split into two sections. One section starts right after we baptize Jesus, and that's usually the first or second Sunday of January. It's pretty quickly after the Christmas season because we don't have much scripture dealing with Jesus growing up. So we move from the birth in Christmas pretty quickly to him being baptized and starting his 3 years of ministry. So right after the baptism of Jesus, we have a period of time called ordinary time, which then scripture-wise would focus on things like Jesus's first miracles or his calling of the first disciples and apostles. Those kind of stories, the changing of water to wine is usually in that early period of ordinary time. And it leads us right up to Ash Wednesday, which then begins the season of Lent. So it's kind of an in-between time, which is one of the definitions of ordinary time. And some authors call it the in-between time. Then the bigger chunk, and I think probably the chunk that you were referring to when you said that, comes right after Pentecost, right after we celebrate the Trinity, and then we move right into ordinary time, which for those of us that live in the West will experience that kind of in conjunction with summer and fall. as seasons go. Of course, it'll be different in the other hemisphere, but that's where it falls usually on the calendar here. So we celebrate Pentecost, and then we move into ordinary time. I think just as a general definition, I would say that for ordinary time, once we're through the major stories of Jesus, we are scripturally wanting to hit the rest of the most important stuff that happens in the life of Jesus. And there are some projections that say if we would read the New Testament scripture every Sunday as it's on the schedule, by the time we would finish the three-year cycle of the lectionary, we will have read 95% of the New Testament, which is rather amazing. Now, the Old Testament isn't quite that way. If we would read the Old Testament scripture every Sunday during ordinary time and throughout the rest of the year, we would hit about 65% of the Old Testament. So it is a very purposeful and intentional way of putting ourselves through the scripture base, of hearing all of the stories of Jesus. And it was, in fact, the stories and events in Jesus's life that became the foundation of the lectionary. So when the framers were framing the lectionary, they were totally governed by the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and probably asked themselves the question, how many weeks will it take before we can get through all three gospels and tell all the major stories? And that's sort of how we ended up with our 3 years. It took 3 years to get through those three gospels at 52 weeks. So that's sort of the way the math worked, and it works out wonderfully.
So you're saying these were type A left brain people that put together the lectionaries for the calendar?
It is a schedule after all. That is true. And for those of us that like schedules,
it works.
And it's very dependable, then it fits right into our wheelhouse, and we're very comfortable with having something like that to depend on. And I'm laughing a little bit, but I also, from a formational perspective, will say the fact that it is repetitive, the fact that we every 3 years return to a gospel or to the portion of the Old Testament that's being emphasized, is really good for us as learners and hearers, because each time we hear it, we are different. The world around us is different. Our culture has adjusted in ways that we might not have forecasted 3 years earlier. Things change. And so I have found, from my own perspective, that for me is one of the definitions of the richness of Scripture. Scripture is so rich that when it comes back around and is repeated for me, I hear new things, or I have new insights, or it says something different to me that I didn't see 3 years ahead. So that is, even though we can joke about maybe being a little bit structured with a schedule, I also think there is huge blessing in it for all of us. No matter what kind of learner we are, repetition is an important part of that. And, you know, I'm thinking especially of children, but for all of us, it's important.
Well, I'm good with the structure. That works for my way of learning as well. But you said something that I think it's important to highlight for our listeners, and that was that we hear the scriptures repetitively every 3 years, but there's a reason for that, and it isn't simply to hear them, but the reason is it changes us, because that's the point of living the liturgical calendar, is to be changed and shaped and formed through the life and message and ministry of Jesus. Yeah, so there's a quote that I shared with you, but I want to read it for our hearers. In Numbering My Days, Shane Heady tells of his realization during ordinary time when he encountered the scripture of the young ruler, the rich young ruler. And he and his wife, while they were yearning for a bigger house, they already had a home that was comfortable and adequate, and certainly finer than much of the world's people would ever dream of. And they were talking about, should they buy a bigger house? And this scripture of the rich young ruler, who Jesus said, you sell everything and give to the poor if you want to follow me. It was the scripture that spoke to him. And he said he went home and he shared that with his wife. And what she said to him was, what you're telling me is we're not getting a bigger house. Well, what he says about that experience is the liturgical year is becoming a third voice in all of our discussions, a not always welcome voice of wisdom butting in with insights we didn't necessarily want to hear. Have you, Jane, ever had an experience where the liturgical calendar became another voice in your conversations with others?
That's a wonderful question, because I've had firsthand experience in the shape of a spiritual practice. So as I went through the spiritual formation and companioning program and kind of went through that certification to become a spiritual companion, I learned so much more about spiritual practices and how that might happen in my life, bless my life, but transform, I think is the word that I would use. And it just organically happened that I decided the early wee morning hours, which in Irish, there's a word called Lishna. And Lishna means just as the dawn is beginning to break. So before there is bright light, it's still dark out, but it's just before dawn. And what I've started is that moment in my morning, I'm still lying in bed and I'm not really coherent because I'm not a great morning person. But I ask myself the question first thing in the morning, where is Jesus on his journey today? And so the lectionary is what helps put that into perspective for me. If I have paid attention to the lectionary scripture from Sunday, which is where I most frequently interact with it, would be on Sundays, then I'm able to say, well, this week is the week that Jesus and his parents are immigrating to Egypt, or this is the week that the woman is going to wash Jesus's feet or anoint him. I'm aware of what's happening simply because the schedule of scripture is taking me through the events and the stories. And I have found that to be such a wonderful way of not only internalizing what I'm hearing in the lectionary, but also what does the life of Jesus have to say to me today in terms of how I'm going to live this day, what's going to happen in my day. It's just been amazing. And I recommend it as an idea for people to think about in terms of their interaction with scripture.
Maybe not first thing in the morning, Jane, but certainly there are other times that people might be more apt to have that kind of a meditation.
Well, I was actually doing it as a discipline because what I was doing earlier was as soon as I began to wake up in the morning, I was starting my to-do list. And it was becoming very type A. It was becoming very oriented toward here's all the things I have to do today. Here's all my due dates. And so when I chose this spiritual practice, it was intentionally to supplant that way of starting my day. It doesn't mean I don't eventually get there to, you know, what's going to happen today and what are my due dates and all of that. But it was intentional on my part as a way to start the day differently.
So there are some times if you do that and think about what is happening this week, how does the lectionary inform me about the story of Jesus this week? And how do I walk with Jesus this week? There are themes then that we are going to encounter in ordinary time that are going to make us uncomfortable or make us interact with others in ways we had not anticipated. And I'm thinking in particular about something that is a very important aspect of Community of Christ, and that is this understanding that we are about promoting healing and spiritual wholeness and reconciliation. And we talk a great deal about it. We teach a great deal about it. However, living it is a whole nother story. So how does ordinary time help us in that, to be a people who not just talk about reconciliation and healing, but actually involve ourselves in it personally?
Yeah, I don't have data exactly. I have a feeling, I guess, that often, especially in the Gospels during ordinary time, that we are witnessing Jesus in action relative to relationships. So he is in relationship with lots of different people. And how does he interact with them? What is his method? What is his mode of ministry? And I think preaching is part of that, but not a huge part. It seems like in ordinary time, we're more often going to hear about the rich young ruler. We're going to hear about the demoniac. We're going to hear about the woman who washes his feet. We're, you know, it's those kind of stories that are relational. And always, I think, when we get into that space with Jesus, it's going to head toward reconciliation and peacemaking. It just does. Whether that's literally through healing of some kind, or whether it's a restoring of someone to their community, or any number of other outcomes of all these wonderful stories that occur during ordinary time. So for me, I guess that's one thing I would say about ordinary time, Karen, is that it would be really easy to assume, because the name is ordinary, that this is not important stuff. And for me, it's actually quite the opposite. That I think since children, we've had the seasonal part, the festival part, ingrained in us, and it just overwhelms us, or it can. But this ordinary time portion has really not come to the forefront. And for me, it's the ordinary part of Jesus's life that we're witnessing during this time. And it's not just New Testament. It's as you read the stories of the Old Testament, and we hear during the ordinary time travail of Abraham, of Sarah, of the things that are going on in their lives, there's just so much happening that is relational. And I think we can learn from that.
So when I think about the liturgical calendar, the festivals and the seasons of Easter and Christmas and all these, they are more fun. They're fun to celebrate. They're visual. They're engaging. They have secular practices that we see in the grocery store, right? We see Easter bunnies and Easter eggs and things at Easter time. And so it's on our mind that, of what season it is. And the same with Christmas. But in ordinary time, it seems like that's the time of growing. And growing is stretching us. And growing means really doing the hard work of applying this in our life. And so I think about what happens to the to kids in summertime. We're going through the school season and everything that happens, the rituals of every year. But that summertime, kids grow like weeds. And in the fall, when it's time to buy new clothes for them to send them back to school, nothing fits from last year because they have grown so much over the summer. And I think of myself that way in ordinary time. That's kind of my way of applying what ordinary time kind of means to me. So it's when I grow in learning more about Jesus and applying it to what it means to be a disciple in Community of Christ. because that's the key, is living that out in community of Christ. So what do we encounter in ordinary time that might challenge us or make us uncomfortable, but will help us grow?
So I loved what you said about growing. For, again, those of us in this part of the world, the color of that would be green. And that is the liturgical color for ordinary time, is green. So there is some parallelism to growth and disciple formation relative to that color of green. I guess for me, I think it's a challenge to think about ordinary time, maybe really focusing on one symbol or one song or one scripture that would be your ordinary time focus for a particular year or maybe for more than 1 year. But I have found some real blessing in thinking about ordinary time in that way. So for example, I heard a quote from Velma Rusch once talking about the cross where the vertical becomes the lateral. And that, it just struck me. It was such a deep thought. I had to really ponder it. And so, of course, I have jewelry with crosses on them. We have a cross on several places in our home hanging on the wall. But it took on a new dimension for me in terms of the cross as a symbol during that season of the vertical, which would be my relationship with God, which always becomes the lateral, which is my relationship with the children of God. And so that the cross throughout that season, every time I saw a cross or intentionally looked at a cross or went to a cross, that's what it did for me during ordinary time, was thinking about what does the symbol say to me in my disciple formation, not only as my interior work, which I think is an important part for Community of Christ, is the 160 Doctrine and Covenants 161 scripture that references both our inward and outward journey for disciple formation. So this vertical work of interior spiritual formation, but it always leads to outward mission, outward compassion, outward sharing, much as it did with Jesus. So that's just one example. I mean, it could be a song, it could be a favorite scripture for that season. Boy, it seems like that would be a really wonderful way to approach it.
Yeah. And to think about that and see how it does stretch us and help us to grow. I love that, where the vertical becomes the lateral. So Velma Rusch, for our listeners who may not know, she was a beloved professor at Graceland University, the Community of Christ University, and a prolific writer. And many of her works are available through Herald House, the Community of Christ publishing outlet. And so I can refer you there. Made a great impact on a number of people's lives and spiritual development. So Jane, there are also little blips in ordinary time, if you will, where we kind of deviate onto specific things. So you mentioned already Trinity Sunday, but there's also All Saints Falls during ordinary time. And ordinary time concludes with the Sunday that we call the Reign of Christ Sunday, which is also called Christ the King Sunday in some traditions. So how do these add to our experience or our growth during ordinary time?
Yeah, so if you're thinking about ordinary time as it begins right after the baptism of Jesus, then of course Jesus is starting his ministry walk, if you will, on earth. So his 3 years of ministry. And so this is this normal everyday living that the adult Jesus is now doing following his baptism. And so after we spend time with just those beginning stories of Jesus and his mother and how they relate to each other, especially I'm thinking about the relationship that is expressed in the story of the water turning into wine, where it's Jesus' mother who asks him to make this, to solve this problem.
One of my favorite scriptures, the nagging mother.
Yeah, it is a nagging mother. So not that I identify with that at all.
No.
And then moving after Pentecost into the bigger season of Ordinary Time, starting with the Trinity, which I think is a what a wonderful way to start Ordinary Time as we're walking with our understanding. And my understanding, even in these last couple of years of the Trinity, as far as it being a community base of, you know, whether it's creator and savior and spirit, whatever words you want to use, thinking about how each of those helps me as a person be more real in my life, that I know God is my foundation and my rock. I know Jesus walked this earth like I am walking this earth, and I know Spirit is available to me 24/7 to weave through my life with wonderful ministry and blessing. So it becomes a wonderful way to walk into, if you will, Ordinary Time. Then we spend time, which was such a fascinating thing that happened here with All Saints Day. So I got an inquiry from the presidency that we'd had a particularly rough season where some very treasured folks had died. And the presidency just simply asked, is there a day in the next upcoming part of the year? And it was headed toward fall. Where we could just take some time out and remember. And I just said, well, yes, the lectionary already has that. As Community of Christ, we'd never used All Saints Day before, not put it on the calendar before, but that's probably been 2 or 3 years ago. And so now it appears on our calendar each year on November 1st, and we're trying in our worship resources to incorporate some worship element around the idea of All Saints Day for the Sunday after the 1st of November, so that we are remembering the disciples who went before us. Sometimes you would hear the wording, we stand on their shoulders. Mm-hmm. Those kind of people who've had a huge impact on our lives. In other denominations, it will be more literally saints. So those that have been treated or elevated, if you will, to sainthood. In our denomination, not so much that as it is the heritage. And I really appreciate now, I'm trying really hard to appreciate now the wider heritage. It's not just 1830s to present. There's actually the wider Teresa of Avila and those that were before us who laid the foundation for such wonderful spiritual work, spiritual formation. I do appreciate now the wider emphasis of folks on whose shoulders we stand. Yeah. That makes a huge, huge difference. So that's All Saints Day. And that takes us right almost to the end. I think it's pretty fascinating for people. I actually get emails and calls about the Reign of Christ Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, it's the last Sunday before Advent, and mm-hmm. people want to know why, depending on the gospel, but the questions will be something like, why is Jesus standing before Pilate this week, and next week he's not even born yet? This seems way out of whack.
Oh, yes.
It's like, okay, we're going to now start expecting the baby to be born, and here we are with Jesus in front of Pilate having a conversation about whether he is the King of the Jews. And this Reign of Christ has such a strong, all three Gospels has such a strong emphasis in those scriptures dealing with testifying of what Jesus knows, of who he is and why he's here. But I think we can learn from that there's this part of testifying and being willing to claim that we are in our best moments, followers of Jesus, and maybe even in our worst moments, we're trying to be followers of Jesus. But so the reign of Christ, which is very specifically, and I do want to say for reign of Christ, I think it helps people sometimes to think about it from the standpoint of past, present, and future. So when you think about the reign of Christ as it happens in the past, and so we read that story of Jesus in front of Pilate and other versions in other gospels. And then for present, is like, what does it mean to say that the kingdom is already here? Which is a hymn text from Jeff Spencer, who was used to, before his passing, he was the president of the Council of 12 and very instrumental, actually, in the 1981 Hymn of the Saints. And one of the hymns that he wrote for there has that, the kingdom is already here. So interestingly enough, what does that mean in the present? Are we in fact living the kingdom? Whether in good shape or bad shape, are we doing that? And then the future, which is also really hard for people in Advent to talk about, literally a second coming, but more important, I think, than getting so literal about a second coming, I think it's more important to say how are we feeling called into that future by the reign of Christ? What do we think the reign of Christ would look like in our culture? What would it look like for the globe? And so all of that, past, present, and future, as far as the reign of Christ, becomes really important and feeds directly into Advent if people can just see that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because that's how we start the cycle for our understanding over again.
Yeah.
So on Reign of Christ Sunday for the Common Grounds episode, the scripture that was mentioned is from the Doctrine and Covenants, and I'll paraphrase, that Zion is as near or as far away as the spiritual condition of God's people. Yeah. And for me, that's the kind of the understanding of the living present into the future of reign of Christ, that when we live that, Zion is present.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've done a lot of work with the temple and temple ministries, and often we get caught up in that very idea with at some point Christ will come again. I really feel like my grandmother, probably that was kind of her interpretation, that when the temple was built, Christ would come again and peace will reign. I really have now appreciated very much the idea that this is something that is within our lifetime. It's within our discipleship, that the way we choose to live and the choices that we're making that impact whether this is happening. And it's not so much whether Christ is physically coming again. Christ has come again and comes again over and over and over again, if we allow that to happen.
So as we've been chatting here, Jane, I'm wondering if there are specific resources that come to your mind that our listeners might be interested in that would help them as they walk through the liturgical calendar, as they read the lectionary scriptures, as they hear them preached or experience them in their spiritual formation. And of course, a good Bible always comes to mind, a good NRSV annotated Bible, New Interpreters or Oxford. Also a good Bible commentary. And you can find a good one through Oxford or Erdmann's or even the HarperCollins. But are there additional resources that you could recommend to someone who really wants to explore this further?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. So where to start? I think within Community of Christ, a simple way to start would be to subscribe to Daily Bread. So within that's a daily email that can come to your inbox, which has usually a short scripture and a story associated with it. And within the last, I'd say, 2 years, the focus for Daily Bread has turned more and more on the liturgical seasons. And so it's one way to help us become aware of where we are in the liturgical seasons and what some of those themes are. So for example, last year during Advent, it was all the stories were focused on waiting in darkness, which I just found fascinating.
Yeah.
So wonderful ways of thinking about the different seasons. So daily bread within our denomination would be a great choice. And also what's happening around the international church, I'm told, is the use of our sermon and class helps. So the sermon and class helps are our short commentaries on each of the scriptures. We started with the Gospels, and so we now have a full set of commentaries for every liturgical Sunday on the lectionary for years A, B, and C. Starting with year A, which will be really 2020, we will start with and sprinkle that with some Old Testament stories as well. So those sermon and class helps are being used for not just sermon preachers, but also for classwork, for personal study and devotion. They're very short and not hugely in depth, but do give you that feel for where we are in the calendar and what's happening in the life of Jesus. Then I have several of my favorites, which preaching the Christian year is one reference I think you had talked about. I'm also thinking that texts for preaching is another good one. One of those is Brueggemann, Walter Brueggemann, who's a really wonderful author. The other is Fred Craddock, who's another wonderful scripture author, editor kind of person. So, and then right now, probably in the whole ecumenical community, lots of buzz around the series called Feasting on the Word. So Feasting on the Word has 4 volumes for each year, year A, year B, and year C, and uses all 4 of the Bible scriptures. And what I appreciate about that resource is that they not only talk to you about the background of the scripture, but we get a homiletical view, an exegetical view, we get a pastoral view, and then preaching ideas. So, I mean, there's just 4 streams through Feasting on the Word of the same scripture looked at 4 different ways, which is very wonderful. So for someone who really wants to go deep, as you're saying, that would be a wonderful one. If you're more of a private devotion kind of person, I have really enjoyed the work of Wendy Wright. Her last name is W-R-I-G-H-T. And in fact, she's the one that has called Ordinary Time the In-Between Time. And so she has 4 books, short, just small books that are devotional for Advent, Christmas, for Lent, Easter, and then the Ordinary Time. I think she's got that divided into 2 books. But so she has several books, which I would highly recommend as resources to look through. And then, of course, Community of Christ curriculum, and I'm going to say Sacred Space as well, that we're sharing. We are integrating all of our writers together, and I think there's lots of wonderful things that will emerge from that. So those resources would also be great places to look.
A lot of choices. So just so listeners know, you can subscribe to Daily Bread by going on the World Church website at seaofchrist.org and putting Daily Bread in the Google search bar. That's also how you can find some of the resources Jane mentioned, the sermon and class helps, the sacred space, the Community of Christ lessons. All that is available on seaofchrist.org. The sermon helps also pop up on the Community of Christ app for your smartphone, which you can download for free and have that information. And the Daily Bread will be available right there on your phone every day. The resources, Feasting on the Word, that is a 12-volume set, that is available in ebooks on Amazon at a much reduced cost from the hard copy if you're an ebook fan. I don't think the Brueggemann or Craddock texts would be, but I know Feasting on the Word is. And I personally will be checking out the devotionals that you recommended from Wendy Wright. So thank you for that information.
I've just found one other one, Karen, that I'll mention that is new to me. I've used the website, which is www.oramus.org. They have the Bible online. And so I've used them in looking up and wanting to copy and paste scriptures. They're very helpful. But I just tumbled to the fact not too long ago that they have hymns. And what they've done for each of the liturgical years, A, B, and C, is they've listed hymns that they feel apply to that season by each Sunday. So every Sunday, they've got hymns. And, of course, some of them we don't have in our hymnals, but it's a rich enough list that as I scan through it, we've got a lot of the hymns that are listed there in our hymnal. So it would be for worship planners and others who just want to sing their way through the Christian calendar. It's www.oramus, which is oremus.org. And then you can do /hymnal. And if you want to go further, like for right now, you would say /year B. And it will bring up year B hymn ideas, which I think is, that's my newest discovery, which has been very helpful.
Well, Jane, I don't often see you in what I would call giddy mode, but I'm thinking as I'm watching you now on my video screen, that's as close as we're going to get. And it's delightful because I feel the same way about it. One more recommendation, and that is Vanderbilt University, vanderbilt.edu, has a great liturgical calendar website as well that I use on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite writers, Joan Chittister, has said this about ordinary time. It's the ongoing presence of Christ in the human community today. It is the extraordinary period of coming to see the world through the eyes of Jesus. It is the period where we determine how we ourselves will act from now on. I think that encapsulates what you were saying about past, present, and future, as well as your own spiritual practice of where is Jesus today in that first glimpse of morning. Yeah. So I want to thank you, Jane, for taking us deeper into the purpose of ordinary time. Is there any last comment you'd like to make about it before we close?
Well, I appreciate what you said about the questions. So here's the questions that come to me. In the first season of Ordinary Time, right after the new year, right after Jesus is baptized, we spend a few weeks before Lent learning about Christ's mission. So what is Christ's mission? What does that mean to us? And then when we start after Pentecost, it is, who is Jesus anyway? And what does that mean? What is his message and mission, and what does that mean to us? And really, if we could literally feel ourselves hearing the call of Jesus, as his disciples did during this time, all those stories of calling. And then, so the primary question for ordinary time, not only is do you hear the call, but will you follow? So for me, that's the huge ordinary time question, is that will we follow? Will we be the disciples that we're called to be?
Thank you for that, not comment, but question that we can think about as we continue our experience in ordinary time this year and anticipate Reign of Christ Sunday as we then conclude ordinary time and prepare again for Advent. So again, thank you, Jane. And this is Karen Peter. This is Common Grounds, and we are part of the Project Zion podcast. Thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.